I was just reading this week, towards the end of Matthew, how the guards who'd been guarding the tomb, when the body had gone and the stone had been rolled away, the guards will go back into the city and they go to the priests and they tell the priests everything that's happened. And the priests panic and they bribe them and they give them money and they give them money and they tell them to lie. And they say, whatever you do, don't tell anyone that Jesus of Nazareth is risen. Whatever you do, lie about that and cover it up. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how much money they spent on it, the cover-up didn't work. And today, we stand here in the truth that Jesus is alive. So come, Holy Spirit, why don't you just close your eyes and receive more from the Holy Spirit, because you know what? We really need him. We really need the Holy Spirit. And when God the Father sent his Son, it was for one purpose, to save us. To save us. And when Jesus transcended to heaven, he said, I leave my Spirit. I leave my helper, your helper. And boy, do we need you, Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Take over this night. Have your way. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Before we worship, why don't you just take a moment to thank the Lord for getting you through this day? I don't know what day you've had, and I'll never understand the day you've had because I'm not you. But you know the day you've had. And yet you're still here. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for getting me this far today. Thank you that I'm amongst brothers and sisters who know the truth, that Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit is living here. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Good evening, everyone. Did everyone enjoy the small groups?
Yay!
Awesome. Welcome back. So, as Ian's already said, tonight's about rest. Actually resting and receiving the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to rest and go to sleep. It's another thing to rest and receive the Holy Spirit actively. So your spirit's awake. You're resting, but your spirit's awake and actively expecting to receive the Holy Spirit in that position where you're seeking God, actually, but from a place of rest. And it's not something that we often do, or it's not something that comes natural. Actually, something programmed into us from when we're very small in school is just doing. Do well, do well, do well, and you'll get a reward. Do well, you get a prize. Do well, do well. You know, if you don't, then you're just nothing and you're nobody, no good. Well, actually, all that God wants us to do sometimes is just to be still and just to rest and just receive him. We find it hard to receive, don't we? We think we have to do something, then we'll get something. We do something, then we get something. But it's just like our salvation. It's a free gift. And the Holy Spirit's a free gift, and he wants to fill us just for no reason, just because he loves us, without us having to strive or work for something and do something, just to be. And it's really hard for many of us to get our head around that, because we're just programmed the wrong way, right-wired the wrong way. It's like, you know, our hearts are like a sponge. And if I was to go in my garage after it's been winter, if I was to go in my garage in the spring after a long winter and get an old, hard, dry, crusty sponge off the top shelf and want to wash my car with that, it's just not going to do very much as it is. First, I have to fill up a bucket with warm, hot, soapy water and dip this sponge in the soapy water, dip it in for a bit. And pull it out and just dip it in again and hold it in there. And it just, the soapy water just soaks right through. So the whole sponge is totally soaked right through. It's soft, it's warm, it's ready to do what it's designed for. But these sponges are like our hearts. And the Holy Spirit wants to immerse you, immerse yours and my heart in his presence, in himself, in his love, so that we can be filled, so we can be really filled to overflowing and not just like that dry, hard, crusty old sponge who's not going to do very much when it comes to like doing ministry or doing anything because it's just going to scratch the car or whatever. But our hearts need to be like this sponge and you just need to sit there and just be willing to let Jesus just dip us into the Holy Spirit, so to speak. It's also like, you know, when we just sit there and receive the Holy Spirit, it's just like when we're in his presence, it's like being in outside on a sunny day. You know, you can't sit outside on a sunny day with your face pointing at the sun in 30 degrees and not have something happen to your face. It's going to go red. It's going to glow. Something's going to happen. Something's going to change because you're in the presence of that sun. And it's exactly the same being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You might not necessarily feel anything all the time, but something is happening, whether you feel it, whether you know it or not. Something is absolutely happening to your mind, to your heart, to your spirit, to your being, to everything. He's changing us, transforming us to be more like Jesus. And I want to read from Luke 10, chapter 38. It's about Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Isn't that challenging in a weird sort of way? You know, Jesus here is saying, it's better for you or me to sit at his feet, doing nothing, listening to him, than it is to run around doing anything else. Now, I don't know, like, how that sort of sits with us, you know, because, as I say, we're programmed to just do. But Jesus is saying it's better to sit and listen. It takes some time for us to get our heads around this, but it's so true. It's like, you know, many of us forget our first love. When we're saved, we meet Jesus, we meet him, we fall in love with him, we fall in love with the Holy Spirit. We love him for what he's done for us. But then it's very easy to get distracted by all the preparations that have to be made, whatever it may be, whether it just may be normal life or even ministry or whatever. It can be very distracting, actually. Even doing lots of good things for Jesus can be distraction from him. Because he wants us to just sit and be with him. It's more important than anything else. You know, Esther and I recently married and we moved into a house a few months ago. And there's obviously all sorts of stuff that needs to be done in that house. Lots of DIY, putting tables up, pictures, all that kind of thing. And I'm that sort of person by default. I'm a bit like Martha, if I'm honest with you. By default, I am. I like to just do stuff. We get a package in the post, a table, and I like to just write. Let's do it right now, you know. Esther's like, you haven't even had tea yet, you know. I'll eat on the move. Come on, let's just go. And I start, like, putting this table up or whatever. And after an hour or so, I'm still going. And I'll look up and I'll sort of see Esther sat there. And I'll look into her eyes. And she doesn't say anything. But her eyes are saying a lot. I look into her eyes. And I just see in her eyes and I just hear, "Stop!" You know, I don't hear that with my ears, but in her eyes, they're speaking that to me. Her eyes are saying, "Stop. Stop. Just come and be. Just come and be with me. Come and just sit down next to me with me and just be with me." And I'm running around doing all these things. "Oh, did you like this? I've done this for you. I've done that for you. Isn't this awesome? See what I've done for you. I've done this. I've done..." And she's like, "Yeah." I thought, oh yeah, I missed it. There's time to do that stuff for sure, but that wasn't the time. That time I should have stopped and just sat with her. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying to us tonight. Stop. Just stop. Just for a few moments every now and again and just be with him. Turn your face to him. Sit at his feet. And let him fill you with his Holy Spirit. That's what tonight's all about. And everything else comes from this, like I'll mention in a minute. I was in the School of Ministry in Toronto for a year and a half, a few years ago. And one of the things that they used to make us do all the time, twice a week, was just to lay down on the floor in a big auditorium like this, was to actually just lay down on the floor for 2 hours, twice a week. For a year and a half, we did this. And at first, it's like, well, it's a great time when everyone's sort of sat around to just get some work done or do whatever. But they would really encourage us into this, into just resting and receiving the Holy Spirit. Because they'd experimented in the past. What they'd done in the past with a previous school was they'd said that for this particular school, we won't do this. We won't rest in the Holy Spirit and we'll just see what happens. And they had a massive increase in pastoral need and a massive increase in prayer requests and one-on-one personal counselling. A huge increase. So they thought, we need to keep this. We need to keep resting and receiving the Holy Spirit. Because when we do that, he ministers directly to us. He ministers directly to us. He speaks to us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He loves us. He shows us pictures, visions. And even if you don't feel anything sometimes, he's still at work. You know, there's times to press into God and pray and read our Bible and all these awesome things. As long as you keep resting and listening to him as well. You know, many of us can pray and read for great, but when's the last time we just whoop and actually listen for real to what Jesus has to say to us? It's like going out for a coffee. Imagine if you went for a coffee with a family member who just won the lottery, but you didn't know this. So you went out for a coffee and you're telling this family member all these things. Oh yeah, today was a great day, da 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 da, ba 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 ba. And you go on for a while. And then you tell him, oh yeah, but I'm struggling with this and for ages. Anyway, I've got to go, see you later. Whereas all that time, this family member's been there with the answer to all the problems, the answer to all the struggles with money or whatever it may be. Ah, and then you might find out one day that they'd won the lottery. And you think, well, why didn't you tell me that the other day when I needed to hear that most? And then they would say, well, I wanted to, but you just wouldn't let me get a word in. You know, this is exactly the same with us and God. We can with even prayers, which is awesome. But if we don't stop, you know, to listen what he has to say and reply, then it's just a very, very big mistake. In Job, it says, if you would only be altogether silent, for you, this would be wisdom. And I'm just going to hand over to Esther now, and she's going to talk about our next point.
Yeah, so Andy was introducing, you know, what soaking is about, like, spending time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, fully immersing your heart in the Holy Spirit, getting softer, not doing, finding time to rest and just listen and receive. You might have done soaking before, but tonight we're just going to look about, you know, why are we doing it? Why do we soak? If you've never even soaked before, then, you know, why is it a good idea? Why are we doing this tonight on Route 61? Soaking and resting in the presence of God. You know, what's the benefits? What are we getting out of it? Sometimes it might feel like a bit pointless. You're not doing anything, like Andy said, and that can be frustrating. You know, you don't feel like you're achieving something, but there's very good reasons why we should soak and why God encourages us to rest in his presence. One of my favorite stories in the illustration of why we should soak is the Mary and Martha story that Andy's already read out. And the thing that I find interesting that Jesus says is to Martha, Mary has chosen what is better. With soaking, it's like a choice for us to do what's good for us, to do what's actually better for us than running around and never stopping. And it made me reflect. I know Andy's told a story where where he's Martha and I'm more like Mary. But I was just going to tell a quick reflection from our house where it's kind of the other way around. Because it made me think from this story, you know, Martha invites Jesus as a guest into her home, it says. And obviously preparing a meal. For me and Andy, with this new house we've got, we've now got an opportunity to invite people around. So we have done a couple of times, but I'm the one who's in the kitchen making the food. So we'll have guests around. And Andy's sat in the lounge. You know, obviously you don't want to just leave and both do stuff. So one of us has to suffer the cooking and one of us gets to spend time with our guests. And just reflecting on that, you know, he's getting to know our guests more. He's speaking to them, he's listening to them and getting to know what's happening with them and who they are. And I'm missing out. I mean, it has to be done, but I'm missing out in a way. And I just thought, you know, it's a bit of a challenge for us as Christians. We've invited Jesus into our home of our life as Christians. And, you know, in a way, he's sitting in our lounge and he's our guest in our home, in our life. And if Jesus was really sat in your lounge at your house physically, obviously you'd be dying to sit with him and speak to him and listen to him, what he's got to say. And just the challenge of, so do we do it enough, you know? Do we spend enough time with our guests? Do we invite him in the first place? Or is he feeling neglected a bit? And also challenging for me is the fact that soaking isn't just a Route 61 thing. It's actually something that can become something like a godly discipline in your own lives. For me, every time we talk about it on Route 61, it brings me back to the, oh, I don't do this enough kind of feeling. I've grown up being taught a lot about reading the Bible and praying and things, and that's more my habit, I guess. But this is so valuable. If we actually see the value of it and, I suppose, remember about to do it and don't get as distracted, it's a good reminder on Route 61 about the value of why it's just as important as the daily Bible readings you might do. So the way I want to talk about soaking tonight is in relation to the name for God that's given first time in Genesis. It's called El Shaddai. It's mentioned 48 times in Scripture, which I didn't count. I actually found on the internet. It's the way that God was known to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, is what it said in online. So this is a name that they spoke to God of, El Shaddai, that's what they called him. There's so many meanings, actually, that you could find from the translation, but one that I found repeatedly that I'm going to focus on is to do with God as the many-breasted one, the nourisher and the sustainer. And it kind of depicts God as being like a mum, actually, in this situation, rather than necessarily a father. But and being the one that provides every need for a baby, for a child, in feeding and nourishing and being totally providing all that they need. So the two words, nourisher, sustainer. I was first going to look about sustainer, the word referred to as what God is to us. And I thought, what is sustainer, what is sustainability? It's being able to keep something keep going. And what do we need to keep going? We need rest now and again. So God is our sustainer for our weariness. And I don't know about you, but we all get weary. And especially, I don't know if it's through ministry or if it's through family life or just a hectic job or I don't know for you personally, but whatever it is, it's not necessarily negative things that make us weary, but, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's obviously important, and we will burn out if we keep doing all these things, no matter how good they are. We need to come and rest as Jesus asks. So in kind of relation to this name, the many-breasted one, I was actually a student midwife for a year and did lots of placements on the labour ward and in the community and things like this. We learned before we went about all the things before we went out to the labour ward placement, you know, we were prepared for how to care for a baby just straight after birth, how to settle a baby. And the most important thing we were taught when you first deliver a baby is to obviously dry them off and then place them to the mum in a position called skin to skin. For the baby, having been just through a very traumatic experience of birth, it's actually probably very unsettled. Everything suddenly changed. It's come from a dark world to a bright world, a warm world to a quite cold world, and loud, you know. And it's like an unsettling time and an unrested time for the baby. The best place we're taught to put the baby is skin to skin with their mum. And if a baby's ever unsettled, even after the birth, you know, can't feed the baby, too unsettled, skin to skin, so that it's like the bare chest of the mum and the baby on naked onto the mum. And that's actually where the baby feels safest and calmest. And it's proven to make the baby, the heart rate to come back down from, you know, sky high when it's unsettled. And the temperature regulates and the breathing regulates. And it hears that noise that it recognises, bum-bum, bum-bum. You know, the sound of it's, oh, yeah, I recognise that I'm safe here. This is my mum. Oh, yes, I recognise that voice I've heard a bit inside. And you know, the baby feels safe there. And that's where it can rest after such a traumatic experience of birth. And I feel like this is a picture for us of where when we're so wearied and stressed or just run down, that God is saying, come to me, come to my chest, come to my bare chest, my child, you know, rest in my presence. And that's the picture that El Shaddai gives us, that we can just lay upon him and hear his heartbeat, feel safe and feel peaceful. In Psalm 23, where it says, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. It's like, why is he doing these things? Well, he's restoring my soul. And that's the rest, you know, rest, restore. That's the reason. And we all need rest. So that's a good reason. He also, I think it's interesting the way the psalmist says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He didn't actually say, well, God lets me lie down because I really want to. Sometimes he just makes us lie down. And, you know, there's a couple of places in the Bible where you think, actually, God's telling me to rest. He's not just suggesting it. It's like he's telling us to do this. He's making us lie down. For the Israelites, obviously, their Ten Commandments, one of them was being told, you must rest one day a week. Dedicate this time to the Lord. Rest and dedicate time to the Lord. A picture of soaking, really, of what we're doing. And I just found it interesting that that's a very good reason to rest, because God's actually telling us to. And I kind of liken that to the way a parent would say, go to bed and make a child lie down, go to bed. It's good for you. You will feel better the next day. You will feel restored. You could be getting on with so much more games that you want to do, and you know, but you will feel better. And even if they resist, you know, will you make them lie down? He's a good parent, our God, and he knows what we need for the next day and to continue. And even God found time to rest on the seventh day. After a very busy Monday to Saturday job creating the world, God found time to rest. And so I think we can find time to rest somewhere, even though it can be a practical challenge sometimes. If we want it and we know we need it, we can try and find that time. So the other word was nourisher. And I just wanted to obviously mention that there's the skin-to-skin part, but the most important part is the feeding part for the baby as well. So the nourisher, God is our nourisher for our hunger, for our development, to feed us. And we obviously need that as we develop as Christians. We need to be fed by the right things, by the Holy Spirit's revelation personally to us, in his presence, receiving. And you know, that name, the many-breasted one, is actually quite a strange expression. And when I first reflected on it, I thought, that's a bit funny. Like, God has many breasts. And it kind of gives you a funny picture. But at the same time, when I reflected on it, I think it's actually a beautiful picture of how God actually has many children. And he doesn't just have one breast we all come to, but individually for you, he has a way to feed you. He has your person, like, you're his child, and he wants to feed you individually. You know, there's a term that midwives use a lot, saying breast is best. It's perfectly designed for the baby, and they'll push breastfeeding a lot, midwives, as being perfectly the best way to feed your baby. It provides all the nourishment needs that your baby needs, and it's totally designed for them, obviously by God, because it's the way we were created. It's the way we can totally receive what we need when we come to God at his breast and receive and soak in and receiving and stopping to receive. The term all-sufficient one is related to the name El Shaddai as well. And the things that are true for breastfeeding is that we promote, you know, tell women, it's free, you don't have to pay anything, there's always enough for your baby, and they'll get all that they need, no supplements needed. And, you know, this is true of the Holy Spirit. It's totally free for you, any time, whenever you need it. There's always enough, you know, there's an overwhelming, overflowing spring in you. There's that drink that you'll never come go thirsty with the Holy Spirit. And all your spiritual needs can be met if you just personally stop and let God feed you. You know, there's a survival instinct that newborns have. And we watched this on a video once, and it was quite amazing, really. When a newborn's just born, you think it couldn't really manage much for itself, but they have survival instincts. And when a baby's placed on the tummy of a mum, they can actually find their way up the mum using kind of like crawling movements. When they're hungry, you know, they'll actually crawl their way in, like, obviously not like a grown-up baby, but they can find their way to the top of the mum. They can smell where their food is coming from. They can recognise that and feed for themselves. We watched a video. It can take an hour or so for them to find that. but that's a survival instinct for a newborn. I must be fed by my mum. You know, it's my creator, the one who can sustain me, and they get there naturally by that survival instinct. So the question is, like, where do we go to be fed sometimes, and do we naturally choose to do something like soaking and resting in God's presence, where the best place for us to be fed? Or maybe we're more likely to be tired and go for the TV or books or the computer or whatever it is for you. Just go to bed, maybe. Obviously these things do, like, restore us in some ways and make us rest for the next day because we've had a busy day. But I would just make the comparison that, like, these things for us are food, but there's a healthy balance with a meal and a diet. And I think maybe to sometimes see, have we got a balanced diet of feeding on God, spending enough priority time just resting in God's presence, as well as the time that we spend doing these other things. And also for a long time sometimes, you know, it can be good enough to come forward on a Sunday and receive a bit of the Holy Spirit, a bit of prayer, but actually, like, you don't always enter in for enough time to really get what God's got for you, and that's why it's encouraged to do this, obviously, in your own time at home. We don't even have that long tonight, but when it comes to feeding, as an example, babies actually sometimes only feed for a short time or a long time. And originally, when they first start feeding, they are getting a drink, and quite a thin milk comes out that doesn't really give them the fat and the nutrients they need. But the longer they feed, like, more milk starts to come through, and that's actually got the fat and the actual good nourishment for them. So I just want to encourage as well that with spending time with God, to actually get this, like, longer time to soak as well as just to receive prayer sometimes on a Sunday and feed for longer. One last thing, sorry. The most important thing that newborns need from their mum is love, to receive love and to bond, and that's what breastfeeding gives. Mums enjoy the closeness because of how much they love their babies, and God loves us, and he enjoys that closeness to us. You know, it's bonding and it's getting to know each other. You know, the baby can memorise the face of their mum. We can get to know God. He can reveal himself when we stop talking and, like Andy said, when we actually, like, listen, and he's got important things to say to us. So I'll just finish with these things. You know, that phrase that Ian was saying earlier, be still and know that I am God, is obviously a really well-known passage. But get to know him, like, receive his love, spend time in his presence, get to know him, and you'll get to love God more as well and know his love for you more. And the last point, definitely, is just from this verse in Psalm 23. In the Message version, that's my favourite version of this verse, 23 verse 6, it says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. And I just like the challenge kind of from that verse where, you know, God's love is for us, it's chasing us, it wants to have us. But the expression that it's chasing us actually kind of has a reflection on the fact that we're running and that we're busy and that we don't actually get to receive it because we're busy, we're on the go. God wants to catch up with us and let his love pour out.
Amen. Breast is best. Isn't that a wonderful picture, though, about that? How that little baby, when it's first placed on its mum, can survival just crawl just those few inches just to get fed, just to stay alive. It's an absolutely awesome picture, that. When Esther first shared that with me, I was like, yeah! You know, that's awesome! You've got to preach that. But it's so true of us, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's so hard. We're so tired and weary and with life or whatever, that it's so hard for us just to come into the presence of God. It's so hard to rest, so hard to just find that place where we can be fed. It really is. It's weird. It's hard to rest. In the Bible, it says, you know, make every effort to enter that rest. It's profoundly simple in a weird way. Like, make every effort. It's like that word. It means like just. Go for it, you know, like, just absolutely go for it. Make every effort just to rest, just to get to God, to get to him, to receive from him, because he absolutely loves us. And until we really realise how much he loves us, really, and we have that revelation of this love, we can't really love God that well or others that well. It's like, imagine like a bar chart or something like that. Imagine if you've got like a receiver of love, and then a giver of love on this sort of bar chart. You know, if we receive God's love loads, we can give up to this much. If we only receive a little bit and believe a little bit that God loves us a little bit, we'll just have a little bit of love in our capacity tank, and we won't be able to really love God or anybody else any more than that, really. So this is so important. You know, the Bible says that we love because he first loved us. You know, God commands us, love me, you know, with all your heart and mind and soul, strength. But we can only even do that. We can't even do that right until we first sat and received his love for us. It all starts with receiving. So how is that going in your life? How is that receiving going? Do you know that you know in your heart that you're so loved? It's the first thing. It's the first port of call as being a Christian. Is receiving his love, then we can love him and love others. And not just, you know, using him for something. You know, it's a terrible thing to be used, that feeling of being used, isn't it? If you know, sadly, statistically, probably many of us have been used in some way, shape or form in a relationship. And the feeling of that is terrible. You know, you trust someone and then they tell you they love you and then you find out they've betrayed you or whatever. It's just a terrible feeling, you know. And you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit in a similar way. You know, if we just, come Holy Spirit, fill me because I want some power. I want some. But what about sitting at his feet and listening to him and receiving his love and just loving him first? What about that? You know, we're the bride of Christ and he absolutely loves us as his bride. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you know, with love, it's when you love someone, you give them your time. A friend of mine called Earl, who I met in Canada, he got married a few years before I met him. He was married, and very quickly they realised something was wrong, and they found out shortly after that that his wife had a very rare type of skin cancer, and they basically battled with this for a few years, and they were seeking prayer and the doctors and everything, you know. And he said to me one point, he was opening up to me a little bit in our room, and he said, you know, bro, there was this one day when all the hair had fallen out and she was really sick. And we were sat on the sofa, and then she just got up and she started doing things around the house and in the kitchen and just doing stuff, distracted, all these preparations and just doing things around the house. And he said, I knew she didn't have long left. And all I wanted her to do was just to sit there and be with me. And that's what God says to us. You know, quit running around sometimes and just sit at Jesus' feet. Just be with God. Receive his love. Get to know him. Get to know his love for you. Love him. We'll be able to love others more. Give him your time. And lastly, to serve him, you know, to serve him best, this is why we do this. We receive his love, we rest in his presence, like that sponge, soak, whatever you want to call it. This, we do it so that we can serve him better, best as well. Out of that place of love and everything, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my teaching. You know, if we're doing ministry and things for God out of anything other than an overflow of his love, then it's just very easy to damage people and hurt people, even though we don't mean to. It's just easily done. Like that sponge, if I was to get that dry, old, crusty sponge and try and wash my car without first dipping it in the warm, soapy water and try to do some ministry with it, do some work with it, I would just scratch my windows and my doors, and I would just do damage to that car, actually, not very good. This is why we do Route 61 before, you know, we want people to minister in this church and things, because we want you to be as fully healed and soaked in the Holy Spirit as possible, and just really have a revelation of this love, and love God, and be filled and overflowing, and do ministry from that place of an overflow of his love, and also from a place of rest and joy, and not just works and striving like we've been programmed to do for so many years, from a place of rest and joy. See, when we're overflowing, it's just happening. You know, if you shake a bottle of Coke up or something like that and take the lid off, it just happens. You know, if it's just rest and joy, that's where ministry should come from, that place of rest and joy and overflow. Yeah, easy. Or not so much. Oh, you know, sometimes it can happen to all of us, you know. If we're not spending enough time receiving from God, it's easy for us to just, oh yeah, ministry is just so hard, I'm so tired. Or even in life, you know, work and church, family and kids, and oh, it's just so hard. But it doesn't have to be. If we make time to rest, everything can be an overflow. And it is hard to make the time, but we can do it. And we do it from that place of resting on him, resting in him, an overflow. Finish with his last story and then we'll actually have a bit of soaking. It's not a true story, this one. It's about an elephant and an ant in Africa, in the jungle. There's a big, massive elephant in the African jungle. He's got big elephant ears, big elephant hands, big elephant feet, and a big elephant trunk. And he's just in Africa, in his home, in the jungle, walking around. And his best friend is this tiny little ant that lives behind its ear. And one day they're walking around in the jungle and they come to a rope bridge that's just miles across. They can't see the other end because it's all misty. And the elephant decides they need to get to the other side. So the elephant takes his first step onto this rope bridge. Boom, boom. And it swings a bit. And it takes its other step. Boom, boom. And it starts to swing a bit more. And as it's halfway across, massive elephant. Boom, this bridge is swinging. Thousands of feet in the air in the mist. Thousands of feet drop below, swinging. Boom, 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 bridge. When they get to the other side, and they're on sort of stable ground again, the little ant whispers into the elephant's ear, "Oh, did you see how much we really made that bridge swing?" As if the ant had actually done anything. You know, because all he was doing was just resting on the elephant. And the elephant was making the bridge swing and doing all that work. It's like us and God. You know, when we rest on God, when we rest in him, all ministry and all things, we can just, he can do it for us easily. We just rest in him, rest on him, listen to him. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have a time of soaking. Do you want to share or shall I go on to her? Hand over to Ian.
So we want to spend some time doing what God has told us to do. He makes us lie down. So we're going to make you lie down. Not force you. We don't have any handcuffs or anything like that. But here's what we'd like to do. For the next half hour or so, we're just going to ask you to rest. We call it soaking, but that's because, you know, it's like that sponge kind of picture. But it's just resting in God, and he loves it when we do. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to find a space somewhere in the room. And you can do one of two or three things. Some people like to lay down. If you want to, that's absolutely fine. Or you might just want to find a quiet corner and sit down. Well, that's okay too, but what I would ask you to do is find a little bit of space from everyone else so that you're not distracted. And we're just going to put a little bit of music on just to kind of help us. And here's one or two things that might happen. If you're like me, you might fall asleep. On Monday, I was like, oh, I'm going to soak. So I laid down on the bed. And I was gone. Do you know what? That's all right. That's okay. Because there's many ways to rest. All right? And that might happen. I will come and kick you if you snore. All right? If that happens, don't worry about it. Secondly, it might take you a few minutes to settle down. That's all right. If you've never done this before, it might feel a bit strange. Do you know what? However you feel, so does most other people. All right? I felt really weird when I first did it. And I tell you, if I can get over that, and the benefits at the end of it are just so worth it, just go with it. Honestly, just try something and go with it. And thirdly, take all the time. All right? So don't just kind of sort of think, well, I'll do it for 5 minutes and then, you know, let God work on you in his pace. All right, so take the whole half hour. So, take a couple of minutes now. Go and find yourself a comfy spot. Find a bit of space. Stay where you want if that's preferable for you. But get away from the people that you came with and find a bit of space.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get ourselves comfortable. And you know what? While we do this, what we'd ask you to do as well is not talk to other people. So don't sit there having a natter with anyone. This isn't. That's because that's not going to work. That's not being still. Being still is about you just settling yourself down and allowing God to do what he's going to do. So once you get settled, I'd ask you not to move around. So when you've found a comfortable place, just stay there, because movement will just disturb other people. And that's not what we want now. And don't worry if you feel uncomfortable. This is actually an instruction from God to be still. Okay.